show last night.
The Thigh Scrapers gave us The Time Is Right from the Thigh Scrapers EP. Maria McKee was in there again with The Way Young Lovers Do from You Gotta Sin to Get Saved. The Clash / MIA gave us Straight to Hell and Paper Planes. George Harrison by request for Jim. Any Road from Brainwashed. Donovan gave us Hurdy Gurdy Man from Live Troubadour.
With the George version.
That's right, yes. Fleet Foxes sang White Winter Hymnal from their first record, The Fleet Foxes. The Honey Drippers sang their single Impeach the President. Johnny Thunders gave an acoustic version of...
You can't put your arms around a memory. Isn't that the truth?
That's from a release of his called Hurt Me. And then it was Rex Orange County giving us Sunflower. And that ends the show. Stick around for Shukri Wright. He's here from 5 to 6 giving you the best in sports. And tell us about some of the cricket matches you've gone to recently, Nigel.
Well, I had a private one with Sir Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr in the back of Paul's backyard. And I mentioned that because, Paul, if you're listening, you missed out, mate. But thanks for letting me come on today, Vin.
Nigel, it's been a real treat. Thank you so much. And stick around for Shukri Wright and listen to commercial-free radio right here on WMFO 91.5 FM. We'll see you next week. WMFO in Medford.
Quiet, I know you know what I'm about. and good afternoon to you wherever you may be. This is indeed the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tusby Farm Radio. Glad you're able to join in on a gorgeous Saturday afternoon in Boston, Greater Boston, wherever you are. It's phenomenal today to be out. For those who tune in, thank you for making the show part of your afternoon and going into Saturday evening. First full day of Major League Baseball spring training games. Red Sox played earlier. There's a bunch of teams in action right now. I mean, I'm telling you, it's one of those things that it's a perfect reminder that spring is here. Not officially, but it's pretty much right on the horizon. I mean, you gotta admit it. So, welcome back, baseball. First full slate of games and a first weekend full of baseball games from now until the end of October at the conclusion of the World Series. But we're not going to start off the show talking baseball. I'll get to that, trust me. But that's not what we're going to start off with. So we're actually going to talk Bruins. It's going to be a very heavy Bruins show because trading deadline is in 2 days, less than 48 hours. And the Bruins already made a move. They have already made a move. Phone lines are open. Got two lines here for you. Call in. Share your thoughts at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. So, with that being said, today is a day in which, in terms of the Boston Bruins, there's a lot going on. Look, number one, the Bruins' acquisition of Andrej Kaše from the Anaheim Ducks, that happened yesterday. Number two, last night the Bruins played an absolutely wild game and a comeback win against the Calgary Flames last night in Calgary. Number three, they are playing tonight in Vancouver at 10 o'clock. Puck drop on Nesson and as well on Hockey Night in Canada. So it's pretty fair to say that for the first two-thirds of the show, it'll be mostly Bruins talk. And there's a lot that I want to get into, and I will. And there are some thoughts that I want to share on the Andrej Kaše deal, because there's quite a few. And I got to tell you, if you're the Boston Bruins and you are thinking, well, we got to be in it to win it, I got to ask you this. Do you think that perhaps this is the time for the Boston Bruins to be all in on one Chris Kreider? Because if you were to sit here and tell me that the Bruins acquiring Kaše was going to be enough to get them to Stanley Cup this spring, I would shake my head and tell you, no, that's not going to be enough. Don't fool yourself, please. And then on top of that, the Bruins continue to roll along. And last night, I want to start off by talking about last night's game briefly, because last night was a clear-cut example of why the Boston Bruins are right now the class of the NHL in terms of where they are in the standings. And why, if they were to go out and get a large size winger like a Chris Kreider, for example, if not maybe a Kyle Palmieri, this could put them over the top. So last night, I'm out with my good friend and buddy, and we're out watching the game. And we're like, you know, this is going to be a good game, another test. Calgary fighting for player positioning in the Western Conference, and then all of a sudden, 20 seconds in, boom. Calgary scores, makes it 1-0. And I'm just like, wow. Okay. Talk about quite an inauspicious start for the Bruins. Yeah, you think? So after that, the game progresses. The Bruins, they fall behind 2-0. Bergeron scores to make it 2-1. Calgary scores again, make it 3-1. And Backlund had two goals in the first period. So I'm thinking, wow, this is definitely not going to be the Bruins' night. Understandable. But after the first 12, 13 minutes, they just settled in. And it's a marking of a team that has the potential and is a great team. They are a great team. Even with the lack of secondary scoring and the deficiencies in that department, this is a great team. But at the same time, last night was just one of those type of games where it was, why are the Bruins saying the hell with defense? Because that's exactly what happened. They said, oh, we don't need to play defense. Let's just run up and down the ice and let's just get our tails handed to us. Shall we? Let's commence. And they did that. But then, by all accounts, Patrice Bergeron, the also ever calming presence on the bench, right the ship. Because don't forget, he had two goals last night. And it wasn't just the scoring that helped the Bruins, but also his ability to get the guys to calm down and as well as get back to playing their style of game. And I got to tell you, I like what I saw. I like what I saw a lot because I know one thing that I've learned is that the Boston Bruins, even when things get a bit wacky and as wacky as it was last night, they did not stray away from playing their game. They didn't. And that's the beautiful part about the one thing I'll tell you is this is what helps in terms of relying on a steady presence, for example, in which that you have veteran leadership, you have a veteran presence on your bench, in your locker room, that even when things like last night, games like last night where you fall behind 3-1, no one would have blamed you that, well, they just said, you know, this is not our night, kind of packed it in, but they didn't. So last night's game was an indicator to me that they've always have had the ability to come the comfort behind and win games, but I tell you, what I also saw last night was their ability to really play shutdown defense. Because after Chris Coyle scored and Marchand scored, defensively they shut down Calgary's offense, in which they have multiple opportunities. And funny enough, Calgary only had a couple of opportunities on the man advantage, and that was it. That was it. So, I gotta tell you, one thing that I really am looking forward to seeing from this group, especially as we move forward, is that they know and understand now that we're at the point in the season in which that they are going to be hunting for points. They need those points. And for the fact that they're 5 points ahead of the Tampa Bay Lightning for the most points in the NHL, that's a pretty damn good place to be, considering all that was stacked up against this team this season. And that's the part that I find absolutely, truly amazing. With all of that being said, and I'll tell you what, if the Bruins somehow, and I don't mean somehow, get 2 points tonight, and they beat Vancouver, they sweep the road trip and the Western Canadian road trip before returning back home for a game on Tuesday night against the Calgary Flames. I tell you, all you can do is tip your hat and say, you know, this team is showing me something more than just the surface level. It's the mental toughness and the grit that you need at this time of year, especially when teams are desperate for points and teams that are fighting for playoff positioning. They're going to be looking to give the Bruins their best effort. Although Calgary completely choked, that's if you're going to be completely honest, but the point remains. So I like what I saw in terms of the Boston Bruins and in terms of their fortitude moving forward. And that is something that's going to bode very well for this team. As mentioned, You can call in the show at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. I want to play a clip for you real quick. This is David Pasternak last night when he spoke to the media after the Bruins had acquired Andrej Kaše prior to the game against the Flames last night in Calgary. This is what he had to say in with the media scrum last night prior to the game against the Flames.
And the national teams together. So, you know, great kid. Exciting for him to join us. And, you know, I think he's a great player. So, definitely going to be fun to have another check. Well, obviously some scoring, you know, and he's an offensive player, really smart. He works hard and battles hard. So, you know, it's something that you always need. And hopefully he's gonna be here happy and you know, get here soon.
Lights. What does it mean when I guess your GM, your organization comes out and tries to add a piece or two to make sure you guys are shored up for what's hopefully a long run?
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, we are in a good spot, but, you know, we want to go a long way, all the way, you know, so we need to get in the playoffs. Obviously, it shows a lot that the GM is believing in us, you know, and have the trust. So, you know, how I said, hopefully we can keep this thing going and play the same way with Andre.
More importantly, how was the curling?
Oh, yeah, it's first time curling. I was a little nervous, but it was fun, yeah. Something definitely I wouldn't think I would try, but it's just fun, actually.
How were you? Were you any good at it?
It's a little below average. But here a couple points for the Czech team. We made it all the way to the finals, which is very surprising to all of us. Actually, David Krejci, I think he should just stop play hockey and go play pro curling, because I was carrying the team the whole day yesterday. It's fun.
That was David Pasternak yesterday speaking with the media after the Bruins had acquired Andrej Kaše and whatnot. And I tell you one thing that before I wrap up the segment, before we go to break, I will tell you that if there's one thing that stands out to me is that for whatever reason, there seemed to be, as per usual, and I can't act as if I'm surprised, the negative reaction from Bruins fans in terms of the acquisition, and as well as, wait, who is this guy? Who is Andrej Kaše? Oh, he's this or he's that. I'm going to explain to you why I actually like the deal when we return on from break to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. I'm going to explain to you why I actually like it so much. So much so that it's going to get you thinking. And I really hope that it does, because I'm telling you, it's one of those deals in which that if it works out similar to what the Bruins did last year in acquiring Charlie Coyle and as well as Marcus Johansson, something that could pay off in dividends in the playoffs. I think it will, and I think it can. So this is really one of those things that you just have to be very patient and see how it all works out, because this is one of those deals that it ultimately, you just never know. You never know if it breaks your way. That's the other part as well. And if it does, it does. Looks like that we have a caller. Give me one second. I want to bring on Ray in Columbus, Georgia. What's going on, Ray? How's it going? Welcome to the Sugar Ray Show.
Going good. Going good. Thank you, sir. Totally agree with you about the Bruins. I mean, even if we're talking about last night's game, Rask wasn't in goal, our best goalie.
Yeah.
So I mean, totally think right now the Bruins are looking good. Best record in hockey.
Yeah. And it's interesting, you brought up about Jaroslav Halak, who, as you mentioned, he was the starter last night, not Tuukka Rask. And the one thing that I noticed in the first period was that, like, the defense in front of Halak was just horrendous. I mean, constant breakdowns. And then on top of that, like, it wasn't all on Halak, but just the bad coverage and the turnovers of the puck was just killing them, especially in the first 12 minutes.
Well, I think the back defense didn't look good. But, like, personally, I just feel better when Rask is in goal.
Oh, that question.
He's our number one goalie.
Yeah.
So I think as we move on, when the playoffs start, and like I said, right now, the best record in hockey.
Yeah.
As the playoffs start, I love our chances.
I love our chances too, Ray. And I tell you, one thing that I'm actually most looking forward to in the playoffs is we've talked about all season about the Bruins redemption tour, so forth and so forth. But I've said all along, personally, I view redemption tour starts the moment that the puck drops for game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. The 82 games during the regular season is just dress rehearsal. So one thing that I am looking forward to the most is the same intensity that they brought night in and night out during this regular season, especially as the Bruins are about to play game number 63. After tonight, they'll have 19 games left in the regular season. That's it. If that can continue in the playoffs and as well as if they can elevate their game as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, last year was bittersweet. You know, I thought we should have won it last year.
Oh, for sure.
And we didn't. So I think this is our year. It's our year.
Definitely. Thank you. Thank you so much for calling in, Ray. Much appreciated. And thanks for listening, man.
Okay, thank you.
My pleasure. And I tell you, if you're the Bruins at this point, if you're a Bruins fan, you got to like where you are in the standings. And I think you should. There's a lot to like. There's a lot to like in terms of what the Bruins bring and so forth, as well as their makeup of this team and so forth. But before we get into all of that, as I mentioned, I'm going to take a bit of a break. When we return, I want to talk about why I actually like the deal so much. So we're going to step away for a bit. When we return, we're going to continue with the show. Phone lines are open, 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. You're listening to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM. WMFO in Medford, this is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford.
De mí no la conociste tú, porque siempre me frenaste con tu pésima actitud. Nunca pude ser quien era por amarte a tu manera. Me olvidé hasta de serio.
Let me finesse this track.
De ti no le he merecido yo. Reconozco cada fallo, estropié tu corazón. Por complejos de ser rey, mi forma devastadora ignoraba tu corona. Y hoy se cambian los papeles, acabó mi suerte. Los llantos que causaste
I think every team tries to improve at this time of the year, going into the playoffs. So I think it's just a natural thing at this point of the season that you try to do the best what's ahead of you and best for the team.
It's not the new adding more strength. What do they need to do to be most successful and fit in?
I think as you know, the general rule is just to obviously try to get to know your teammates, obviously playing under the system, and you know, I think the rest of it is up to us to help the players to kind of feel comfortable and make them welcome, and you know, be part of the identity.
Dana, what sort of details have you liked about the Bruins game here during this recent run?
Well, I think that we play with a lot more urgency, playing simply at times when we need to, and then you know, we've been so far pretty good defensively, and our goaltending been strong as well. So we just gotta keep it up, and look ahead of our schedule. We know that the teams that we're playing are playing desperate hockey and fighting for every point.
I know you guys lost 3-4 just before going on this run with 10-11. Did anything occur during that time where you guys realized that you need to get back to your game at all?
Yeah, I think it was just the stretch before the break. I think we all were looking for the little mental break and time away from the rink and kind of recharge. Not as, I don't know him personally. I just know him as a player. He's a good player. Looking forward to get to know him, and I'm sure he's gonna feel in great with the group we have.
That was Zdeno Chara talking with the Boston Bruins media yesterday before the game against on Calgary, and relates to the. To the acquisition of Andrej Kashe from the Anaheim Ducks. Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Free Form Radio, also streaming live across the U.S. on the TuneIn Radio app as well. Thanks to all of you who are listening nationwide, and those who call in from all parts of the country and so forth. Much appreciated as always. Call in 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. I want to put this out there now, because the typical response from social media and people and the fans usually lean towards the negative side, and I myself decided I was not going to engage, because before we even find out what he's capable of, we're already saying, oh, this is a bad deal. What's Don Sweeney thinking? And I'm here to be not only to be the reason that people actually kind of step back away from that a little bit, but also be the voice of reason. And my voice of reason is this. I actually think it's a good move for a plethora of reasons, but none more than the specific ones I'm actually about to go into in detail. Number one, you finally are able to move David Backes. Now, I can't stress enough how big that is for the Boston Bruins in terms of moving on from a player who clearly no longer serves a benefit for this team. And I say that with all due respect to David Backes and all that he's done when he was here as a Boston Bruin. But the fact of the matter is, He was no longer a viable part of the team. Yes, he was a valuable member and a leader, especially last season as the Bruins made their run to the Stanley Cup Finals. But at the same time, he wasn't really giving you much offensively either. That's number one. 1A, and I'm also mentioning 1A because salary cap relief. I can't stress enough to Bruin fans who are listening that just how important that salary cap relief is for both this season and as well as for the summer and also for next season as well. The man was getting paid about what? How much? $6 million? The Bruins only paying a quarter a quarter of that salary. About, that's roughly what, $1.5 million? That's huge. The rest, the Anaheim Ducks are going to be paying. So for the Bruins, who have had concerns about the salary cap and how we're going to pay Torey Krug moving forward, especially come the summer once he hits free agency on July 1st. At the same time, I think this kind of move alleviates some of the pressure in terms of the Bruins and their ability to re-sign guys like Torey Krug, whose contract is up at the end of the season. That is so important. Now, reason number two why I think this is a good deal. Andre Kasha has shown the ability he can score you 20 goals. When he's healthy, he is a type of winger that has speed, that could play with the style of a power forward, and as well as has the ability to create breakaway opportunities with the speed that he has. And he's done that, especially during his time as an Anaheim Duck. And I tell you one thing that I also really like about him, he's not afraid to take chances. He's really not. And for the Bruin fan who says it is a bad deal, what's Donnie thinking? Here's what Donnie's thinking. He's thinking salary cap relief. Number two, move on from David Backes. Number three, find a guy who could play alongside David Krejci on that second line. Kasha is that kind of player that is not afraid to drive towards the net and actually create offensive opportunities for either himself or his line mates. That's just the truth. And if you're not sure what he's done, just go take a look at his numbers. However, I understand the one big concern that there is, and there is one big concern. I'm going to address it now: concussions. I 100% understand. Concussions is his big thing, and his inability to stay healthy has hurt him. It has. Who knows? Perhaps that changes now that he's here. Things can change. It's very possible. But that's the big if. If he's if he's able to actually stay healthy, you got yourself another Charlie Coyle type of ad similar to what you did last year when you acquired both Coyle and Marcus Johansson for the stretch run. And look how that paid off. So, I know my message may fall on deaf ears, but seriously, Bruin fans, stop the negativity, please. Do your homework. There's nothing more that gets me more aggravated is when I read some of the comments on social media. And a lot of fans are just downright negative. And I'm like, do you do your homework? Please do your homework. If you don't do your homework, please don't talk about something you just don't know much about. Based on what I know and based on the highlights that I've watched of Andre Kasha, he looks like a guy that can play perfectly on the right side of David Krejci. That can complement both David Krejci and as well as Jake DeBrusk. No question. If you have thoughts on Andre Kasha and the deal, feel free to give me a buzz, 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. I'm open to having a discussion with you, the listener, so the phone lines are open. And continuing on with this topic of discussion, Kasha, I think the expectation that I personally have for him is that, number one, get healthy. Kasha, you don't want Kasha to turn into another Rick Nash situation where, remember 2 years ago, we acquired Rick Nash, he has the concussion, and he retires. You don't want another situation like that. And the fact that I understand that you had to throw in the first round pick, which and some Bruins fans are upset about that, which I get, but understand this. It wasn't the fact that they viewed Andre Kasha being a guy worth sacrificing the first-round pick for, but rather what they saw and what they felt is, if we're going to ship out David Backes, we have to add in the first-round pick. Because Bruin fans, understand this. That contract was not movable for the longest of time. It wasn't. You know this? I know this for a fact. Not an opinion. A fact. That contract was not movable. So in order for them to be able to move this contract, this albatross that has become, they had to add in that first round deal. Did it hurt? Yeah, oh, yeah, of course. But they had to do the right thing, especially in terms of providing financial flexibility for this upcoming summer and as well for 2021. That's something that you also have to also look at as well. Now, I don't think that the Bruins, they're not done. I really wholeheartedly believe that they're not done. And as I mentioned at the top of the hour, at the beginning of the show, that we are now officially less than 48 hours away from the NHL trade deadline. I'm not convinced that the Boston Bruins are done making deals. I'm really not. Now, if you were listening to my show last week and I was on the airwaves last week in the morning, on Tuesday morning, it's from 6 to 8 a.m. and as well as 10 to 12 on Thursday, I pointed out that I was really big on getting Chris Kreider. And now I understand the thoughts of some Bruin fans that they're thinking, well, we traded away our first round pick in the Andre Cache deal. So how are we going to get Kreider now? I understand. I get it. But look at it this way. If you're the Boston Bruins, I don't think it's impossible to still get a guy like Chris Kreider who could be the difference maker. But at the same time, I also want the Boston Bruins to understand this. I want the Bruin fans to understand this as well. I want them to also understand the fact that if you are looking at the team for both right now and as well as moving forward, that perhaps it may not be the best thing to get Kreider right now. Why do you say that? Again, I've said it all along. I want Chris Kreider here. But at the same time, looking at it from a right now in this moment perspective, as well as looking at it from a bigger picture point of view, it may not be the best idea to get Kreider right now. And why do I say that? Number one, your first round draft pick that the Rangers are going to be asking for, you don't have. You don't have a first round draft pick. And I just don't see the Boston Bruins trading away the second round pick either. I don't. That's number one. Number two, I'm willing to deal with moving select prospects, but if the name Oscar Steen, Studnicka, or Oho Vuokkaniemi comes up, nope, not doing it. I wouldn't do it. No way. And lastly, the asking price of the Boston of the New York Rangers is going to be pretty high. And here's the kicker, ladies and gentlemen. The New York Rangers play tonight in New York at home against the San Jose Sharks in the last game before the trade deadline. And I know the big question is, especially for Ranger fans and as well as even Bruin fans who are following this closely, as like I am myself, is this the last game that Chris Kreider plays in a New York Ranger uniform? Because remember, and also the other big piece is this. He's going to be a free agent, an unrestricted free agent, come July 1st. That's also the big piece in this as well. So at this point, you know he's going to be a free agent. And if you were to bring him here, what are your chances of re-signing him? Knowing that you got contracts that you need to give to your own players first. Grizzly's contract is going to be up shortly as well. We obviously know about Torrey Krug as well and whatnot. But you do have contracts and players that you need to sign to multi-year deals. And don't forget also, Charlie McAvoy and Brandon Carlo, their deals are going to be coming up soon. Again, That's also something that you also have to look at and consider. And I know the vast majority of you are thinking, how could you say that? You've been saying you want Chris Kreider here. Now you're seemingly making a reverse pedal. No, I'm not making a reverse pedal. I'm not saying I don't want him. I still want him here. But I understand that if you look at it from a big picture perspective, which I'm going to emphasize over and over and over again, it may not be the best thing for the Boston Bruins to get him right now, knowing that he's going to be a free agent at the season's end and the cost. But the bigger thing is the cost that's going to take. What the Bruins are willing to give up for Kreider. That's really the big question. Phone lines are open. I'm here with you until 6. Call in at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. I am of those who think that David Ortiz really should not have opened his mouth. He really should not have opened his mouth. And I'm going to tell you why I think he's become a sellout in terms of the Red Sox fans and as well as selling himself short. Hot take coming up as part of Final Thoughts on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tuskegee from Radio. Back in a flash, call in at 855-915-9636.
Han pasado varios días y estoy enfermo de ti. Dime que me hiciste mal. De mi memoria yo no te puedo borrar. Dios me va a castigar, le prometí te iba a olvidar. No hay por qué seguir mintiendo. El tiempo está corriendo y no se puede parar. La soledad me sigue consumiendo. Más te estoy extrañando, no lo puedo negar.
Bebé, yo soy adicto a tu piel. Siempre vuelvo a caer, aunque quiera romper. Te hice a ti que me hace mal y a veces me hace bien. Dime qué vas a hacer. Estoy dispuesto para ti. Si no quieres de mí, yo no voy a aparecer. Yo trato de explicarte y tú no quieres entender. Yeah.
Bebé, yo soy adicto a tu piel. Siempre vuelvo a caer, aunque quiera romper. Ese vicio de ti que me hace mal. Me siento un brujo que no puedo olvidarte. Cada vez que te veo difícil de esquivarte. Y después te estoy llamando con ganas de darte. Y es que quiero comerte, bebé. Tú sabes, ya son las 3. ¿Qué tal si nos vamos pa' mi casa? Y es que eso es temprano, nos pegamos a la pared. Si tu mamá te llama, la lámpara.
bebé, yo soy adicto a tu piel. Siempre vuelvo a caer, aunque quiera romper. Se dice a ti que me hace mal, y a veces me hace bien. Dime qué vas a hacer. Estoy dispuesto para ti, si no quieres de mí, yo no voy a aparecer. Yo trato de explicarte y tú no quieres entender.
Bebé, yo soy adicto a tu piel. Siempre vuelvo a caer, aunque quiera romper. Ese vicio de ti que me hace mal, y a veces me hace bien.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Before I get to my thoughts on David Ortiz and the fact that I think he's a complete sellout at this point in terms of the Red Sox fan base and whatnot, we're going to go to a caller right now we have on the line. We got Lou and Everett calling into the Shukri Wright Show. Thanks for calling in, bud.
Hey, bro. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no doubt. What's going on, man? Talk to me.
Well, you know, you're talking about the Bruins, and I'm going to say right off the bat, I wasn't too high, everything that's happened the last couple of weeks. Obviously, the trade deadline coming up, but I think this is a good move in their part.
Yeah.
For and just about every reason you just said. But you were just going into the Sox, and how can I disrupt that? Which I still call one of the worst trades they've made in almost 100 years. So,
the fact that even people are going as far to compare this with the Babe Ruth trade, or should I say sell, back in 1920 is a bit asinine in my book. But go ahead.
Uh-huh. Well, that's it. I still find myself dumbfounded over this because of the. I'm lost. I don't know. You know, who are we trying to save money from? I mean, if saving money means not winning a title, is that really the road we wanted to go?
Do you think that would be a bit like kind of productive in a sense, especially in a view of the fans and so forth? Because to me, if you are going to have a method to your madness, you best be a bit more like transparent, because there hasn't been a whole lot of real honest transparency in the last couple of weeks. It really hasn't.
No, there's been no transparency. And, you know, I get where Poppy's coming from. Like or hate it, he's for the team. He's not for the management. And the management is totally disconnected from the fans.
He's become pro-management, especially in his recent comments. That's what I was going to talk about, as a matter of fact. Like, he's become very pro-management. Which is, to me, Lou, to be honest, to me has me turned off. Because it's like, so... You're basically kissing their rear end. Before I'm gonna save the good part for just a little later on, but you're saving your rear end and kissing their rear end because they came and saved your life when you were dying in the DR. Unfortunately, after suffering life-threatening injuries due to being shot in the Dominican Republic, that's what's happening. Because that to me is as clear as. Well, you did me a solid, so now I'm gonna do you a solid. I'm just gonna kiss up. When, ironically enough, you berated ownership when you were a player during contract negotiations. You think that any of us really forgot that? That to me is just like, wow. Okay, we're playing this game.
Well, once again, the management. So, the one little undescribed thing, which one of my friends pointed out, who's a season ticket holder, is
yeah.
They still raise ticket prices this year.
Yeah.
Not like they're going, hey, you know, we did this, so we can cut it back for the fans.
Yeah.
No, they're still going up. They're going up significantly. You know, being a season ticket holder myself, which my ticket prices went up again for like the third year in a row.
Yeah.
I can get it to a degree, not happy about it, but I can get it because the team has a degree of success. Same with the Bruins.
Yeah.
The Red Sox have success, but who thinks they can have success this year? I mean, yes, there's some pieces there, but you just gave away one of the best players in the league.
and that in itself has been a tough sale. And one last thing before I let you go, I gotta ask you on in terms of the Celtics real quick. What do you think happens now in terms of this team and their ability to get everybody healthy and on the court at the same time? Because there has been times of the season where like Kemba Walker, he's going to be out for a significant amount of time after getting his knee drained. You know, Enes Kanter had been dealing with an injury himself and so forth. So I just want to get your thoughts on at what point do you think that you see the Celtics being fully healthy and actually making a deep run in the playoffs, especially now that we're in the unofficial second half of the NBA season?
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing you're saying about the health. And I personally, they've been having a very good degree of success with having small health issues.
Yeah.
I think we talked about Kemba might not be out as long now. He may only miss a game or two, which, I mean, I think by the end of the season, you're going to see that I would rather him out now than out later. Take care of these issues now.
Absolutely, yeah.
Take care of them now because this team has so much potential, especially look at how Tatum is performing right now,
mm-hmm.
and even Brown, and you got guys who are stepping up. I mean, the win last night, they had four starters and they're over 20 points.
Yeah.
Wow. So I think that you need to keep going the route you're going. I mean, the next 10 games, seven of them are against playoff-based teams, including the Lakers and the Bucks. So you're going to see what this team is made of. And let's face it, they can play and beat all of these teams. They can do it. Obviously, they crushed the Lakers the last time they played them. Not fully healthy as well. So I think that, you know, whatever health, whatever, if we have to rest somebody or if there's questions about anybody's health, deal with it now because we do want that playoff run. This is a team that can easily make it to the conference finals without any doubt. And I think that several other teams, maybe like the Sixers, who I believe are probably very much overrated for what they are, especially since they're sitting way below them where we are in standings. I think the Celtics might not even have to play them if we end up in the second or third slot. So, I mean, we really, the playoff positioning is going to be a huge thing, too. I mean, if we end up in that second seed, we can avoid teams we have trouble with.
Exactly, especially right now, given that Toronto has got the stronghold on the second seed in the East. So that's something. Yeah, which is definitely something that we're gonna have to, continue to monitor during the second half of the season. Thank you so much, Lou, for calling in, man. We'll definitely have to link up really soon.
Absolutely, thank you, family.
Yeah, anytime, man. And
bye.
Yeah, anytime in which that we have the opportunity to talk about the Celtics, especially where they are now, it's always a blessing. But with the short time that we have left, I'm not happy with David Ortiz right now. And part of the reason is that, as I mentioned a few moments ago, David Ortiz has seemingly made a complete 180 from railing against Red Sox management during his playing days to suddenly kissing their behinds, their rear ends. Now, I don't understand what happened to David Ortiz. He gotten soft and so forth. And now I get the whole thing that Red Sox basically saved his life when he was in DR and he was flown back to Boston for medical treatment and so forth. I get that. But, man, you are making yourself look absolutely bad. And given that your comments came at a time where baseball is practically very angry with the Houston Astros, less so with Mike Fiers, your opinion comes across as not only disingenuous, but very ill-informed and very much out of touch with the game. Now, I get that you do your whole analyst for Fox Sports in the postseason and so forth, which is great and all, but man, you need to really shut the hell up and really watch and watch what you say. In terms of Mike Fiers, he's a snitch. You know, by definition, technically, but you know what? He did it for what's right for the game. And you have a problem with that? Yes. David Ortiz, yes, you are an absolute sellout. You are a sellout to the very fabric of the individual that you are, especially that you were when you were a player, to suddenly you're like pro-management and pro-Red Sox ownership and back off of Commissioner Manfred. I'm sorry. He absolutely deserves every single bit of the criticism of how he's handled it so far. That's the truth. So, Ortiz, grow a sack. Stop being a sellout. Because you're selling out the fans, you're selling on your integrity or whatever integrity that you have had left in terms of baseball, and as well as the fact that you feel that it's need to be fit to stand up for Red Sox ownership in ways that they deserve so much heat for the moves that they've made. Shame on you. Shame on you, David Ortiz. Shame on you. Just real quick, want to do this PSA before I completely forget. This PSA is brought to you by 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tuskegee Farm Radio. We're back in just a flash.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is Sugar Ray Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. Show's wrapping up now. I'll be back on the airwaves Monday morning at 6 a.m. until 8 a.m., where I will be delivering some very special news. So stay around for that. Hope to talk to you then. The Loft coming up next. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday, everybody. Listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford.